A classic edition of Daily Bread.
Father, we trust you. Jesus, we adore you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Praise you, Holy Trinity. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. This is Daily Bread. I'm Father Al Lauer. It's a privilege to share the Word of God with you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for obeying the Lord. Some of you have been with us for years. It's hard to believe. And others, we've been praying for you to listen. We thank God for you. You're the answer to our prayers. So let's pray now in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let's repent of our sins. The Lord wants to forgive us. Please, brothers and sisters, accept His forgiveness. You were sent to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
You plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. Today's the feast of John Eudes. Father, you chose the priest John Eudes to preach the infinite riches of Christ by his teaching and example. Help us to know you better and live faithfully in the light of the gospel. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Look at our gospel reading. This is Matthew chapter 20. This is always one that really shakes people up. I remember this one fellow at a church I used to be at. He says, this part of the Bible is the most upsetting part of the Bible for me. He didn't know a lot of the other parts, so this kind of saved him from a lot of grief, I guess. But boy, he knew this one because it was read periodically at Mass on Sundays and then occasionally on weekdays. And man, he said, I don't get this. Here's this guy who goes out and he hires people to work in his vineyard. And some guys work a 12-hour shift in a blazing hot 100-degree day as they get in the Middle East. And here's this other guy that works a half a day and a three-quarter day, and then somebody, they work 1 hour. Now, there's a big difference between a 12-hour shift in 100-degree heat and a 1 hour kind of picking up the tools type of finishing the job off stuff. And this guy who works 1 hour gets a full day's pay. Now you can see how the guy who killed himself the whole day kind of is a little bit upset. Although he got a fair pay. And that's the point of the owner of the vineyard. The owner of the vineyard says, I gave you what was fair. You got paid all right. So if I want to give somebody else something better, well what's the problem? And, but there is a problem. You know what I mean. Now, what in the world is this all about? Well, let me just say a few words. I'm going to bring up 8 points here, and I hope you really take these points to heart. First one, say you haven't been working for the Lord, which is the situation that most people have in their life. You just basically do your own thing. As it says in 1 Peter in chapter 4, you have wasted your life on doing your own thing. Say that's your situation, which sad to say is the situation of most people. Jesus himself has brought this up in Matthew chapter 9 where he says the harvest is great, but the workers are few. That means not many people are really working that much for the Lord. I remember the old bishop of Memphis. He was the bishop during the time when Martin Luther King was killed. I'm trying to remember his name. I think it was Drury. This bishop was really a hard-nosed guy. He certainly wasn't politically correct. He was only bishop for a short time, and they kind of shipped him out and put him on the, put him out to early retirement or something. Well, you could see why. He was a great guy, really a guy who stood up for justice. But he was kind of prophetic, and he just wouldn't put up with a bunch of foolishness. And he wasn't really very diplomatic, and it just didn't work out too well. But one time, it was his 40th anniversary as a priest or something like that. And they asked some of the priests, said, Bishop, you know, you're having your anniversary. We'd like to give you a special gift or something. What would you like us to give you?
And the bishop, you know, you could see why this guy didn't last long. He says, if you guys would just work 2 hours a day, I'd be happy. 2 hours a day. Did you hear that? Now, he's going around and say, I do all this work. In one way, things have changed quite a bit, and I think they do a lot of work now compared to what it used to be. But still, it depends what you mean by work. These guys, the fact that the priest now can take 2 or 3 parishes, well, how could they do that if they were working to the hilt before? Huh. Well, somehow or other, they were able to swing it and say, well, I had to just give up certain work and take on new work. Could be. But I don't know too many priests who have to skip their vacations. I know other people do. I don't know too many priests who hardly ever are able to play golf if they really want to. You know, you get the idea. Now, I'm not saying I'm a priest, and I know priests work hard. But at the same time, I don't think it's quite as much as you think. And then, you know, if you talk about priests, if you think priests are loafing, you ought to see the average layperson. Most of the time, the average layperson doesn't even know he's working for God. Doesn't ever even tried. You see what I mean? It's pitiful. So if you haven't been working, which is the case for most people, here's an incentive to get in there. Come on. God may give you a full day's pay for one-tenth of a lifetime. Go for it. Now, say you have been working for the Lord, just killing yourself. And, you know, this is a call for you to be unselfish. Because you say, wait a minute, I've been doing all this, and I'm going to go to heaven and be with the Lord, and this guy who did nothing, he's going to go to heaven and be with the Lord, so I don't think it's fair. It's better than fair. But you got to be unselfish to appreciate it. Third point. Here's an incentive to work with zeal. If you know you're working for somebody that's going to treat you right or better, if you know that you're working for the Lord, you know, gosh, you ought to just be so happy. You ought to be so fired up. You ought to be so privileged. Do you understand? And then number 4, we're going to have to purify our motives in working, because the way the Lord has got it set up, you know, he might have you working all day in a hot 100-degree heat, and you already know how this turned out. These guys were surprised, but you're not surprised. You know how it's going to turn out. And, you know, the Lord hires you right early in the morning instead of saying, praise the Lord, I get to work all day in the hot, and I'll get paid the same as the guys who don't do much. That's great. You'll say, wait a minute, I wish I hadn't been hanging around here. I wanted to get hired at the last minute. You're going to have your motives purified. You're going to have to be working for the Lord, and not for perishable food, but for food that lasts into life eternal. You know, our feast today, St. John Eudes, he was famous for promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And what's that all about? It's about love, and it's about the purification of our motives. Do you understand? Okay, when you read this gospel, Matthew 20, what do you do if you have been working? You repent. What do you do if you have been working full blast? You got to be unselfish. You're not going to like this too much. And you need to work with a lot of joy, and you need to be purified in your motives. 4 more points. When you read this gospel, there's reason to hope. When you look at all the harvest and the very few workers, you know, if God was going to be just, we'd all just go to hell, and that'd be about all there is to it. But there's reason to be hopeful. Maybe you have just messed your life up. You've wasted it doing your own thing. You've wasted it trying to make yourself happy. You've wasted it on petty pleasures. You've been had. You've been taken. You've been made a fool of, even though you're a very politically correct fool, even though you're a socially acceptable fool, even though you are considered wise by all the fools, you're still nothing but a fool, and you've wasted your life. But there's hope for you, because God pays the fools at the end when they finally repent and join him. And it ain't right, but it's better than right. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, God says he'll repay you for the years that you blew, that were destroyed by the plagues of your life. That's an astounding verse, Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. All right, we got to repent. If we haven't been working, we got to be unselfish. If we have been working, we got to work with a real joy, and we need to be purified as far as our motives go. We have reason to hope. Okay, three more. This whole thing shows that even though it's important to work, it's a matter of grace and not works. And isn't that what the whole thing is about? Yes, we've got to work because we've got the grace, but we can't make it on works alone. Do you understand? And then also, we should be thankful. You know, the Lord doesn't necessarily have to hire us at the end or at the beginning or any time. We can simply be left out. He is not obligated to include us. He is not obligated to create us. He is not obligated to forgive us. He is not obligated to give us a first chance and much less a second chance. We could stay in the marketplace forever and never be hired and go straight to hell, and that would not be unjust. But we have reason to be thankful. If you work in a 16-hour shift under the worst conditions, if you're working for the Lord, you should say, thank you, Lord. You didn't have to let me be a part of this. Thank you, Lord. Okay? And then, even though we can explain this to a degree, we cannot explain it to some degree. This is a mystery. And to work in the area of mystery doesn't mean you don't understand everything. Don't understand anything, but it means you don't understand everything or even most of everything. And at first that kind of becomes a little bit disconcerting, but another way of looking at it, you know, you just feel like, wow, I'm in something bigger than me. I'm in something that's greater than I can even comprehend. I'm in this no eye has seen stuff. I'm in this no ear has heard stuff. I'm in this no mind has ever thought up this stuff. I'm in something great. I'm in something big. I'm in something mysterious. I'm in something beyond me. And deep down, even though we have a little trouble relating to this initially, that's what we all want. We kind of have a desire for mystery. Do you understand? This gospel is just as good as gold. It tells us repent if you haven't worked. It tells you be unselfish or you won't appreciate this whole thing. It says you got a real incentive while you're working. You can work with zeal and joy. You need your motives purified or you ain't going to work on this situation. You have reason to be hopeful. Let's focus on grace and not on works. We've got reason to be thankful because we've been snatched up into the mystery of God's loving plan of salvation. Wow, wow. Okay, we like to send you this week of teaching on one CDs. This is our work. We're glad God gave us a chance. You might take his CDs and pass it out and get to work yourself. Our address is Presentation Ministries, 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, 45211. That's 3230 McHenry, Cincinnati, 45211. And the phone number is 513-662-JESU, 513-662-JESU. And may Almighty God bless you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.